so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Come on, let's just give the Lord just 10 seconds of praise in this place. God is good. Hey, give me a wave if God's been good to you and your family and your life. Come on, give him a couple more seconds of praise. Hallelujah. You know, we don't just have you praise because, like, you know what? It'd be so much easier to preach if people are loud. While that is true, it is easy to preach when people are loud. But it's not about just making noise. Every time in the Word of God that they wanted a breakthrough, they gave a shout of praise. Every time, a shout of praise. Every time, a shout of praise. They'd go to war and they'd send out the praise band first. Can you imagine Zero Dark Thirty? You ever seen that movie? And we're like, wait, send out the band. Like, that's weird. That's jacked up, right? Every time they wanted a breakthrough, they would send out the praise band. They'd give a shout of praise. Walls would come tumbling down. Come on. We're not about hyperactive activity about things that aren't real. We're hyperactive about shouting a praise to the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the one who's been good to us, the one who set us free from alcohol addictions and drug addictions and porn addictions and gossip addictions and spending addictions and all these other things. He's been good, amen? And we want more breakthrough. We want more breakthrough. So we, like they did in the Word of God, give a shout of praise. Because we want a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Well, I reckon that's a good enough sermon. Let's do the altar call now. No. I want to preach. I got to tell you though, everything happened to try and stop you getting this sermon today. I'm talking like a car breaking down in the snow a couple hours before church last night. I'm like, I'm stuck. I'm talking, I was up from, I don't know, 2:30, 3 o'clock a.m. to 6, just shaking with a fever last night. So by the way, I don't often spit when I preach, but when I do, it's on the front row. Just point that out, right? You'll be fine. It's anointed. And so got locked out of my office. That was weird yesterday. Lots of things just happened this week. Just interrupted sermon prep this week. Trying to write my sermon yesterday afternoon. I had all my points. I knew what I was saying, but it wasn't written out. I'll tell you, everything got in the way. The devil doesn't want you to live an empowered life. The devil doesn't want you to live an empowered life. And this sort of message, in particular, is one he doesn't want believers to catch hold of. So, but we're here, and it's going to happen. Amen. And so, you ready for the word? Awesome. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, y'all are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then they gathered around him and they asked, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He's like, yeah, y'all, that's not what I'm talking about. Y'all are so distracted by that. He said, it's not for you to know the time or the date that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Praise God, it has made it to the ends of the earth. We're on the other side of the world. The gospel is being preached. We are his witnesses. Amen. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God, we thank you that you didn't send Jesus, do some stuff, and then bail on us. But you made sure that we would have power, that we would have courage, that we would have the strength to be all that you've called us to be, to live the life you've called us to live. God, we open the doors of our hearts today, and we're saying, speak to us. Speak to us. Inspire us. Show us your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, lean in. Come on, touch your other neighbor as you take your seats and say, lean in. Church, I didn't say whisper, lean in. I said, say, lean in. Come on, someone say, lean in. You got to lean into the word of God today, amen. I'm going to preach a word that will bless your life, help you live an empowered life, a life with power from heaven, amen. So you got to lean in. If you're new here today or if you're joining us online, I want you to yell at the preacher today. I want you to say amen. Why would that make a difference online when I can't even hear them? Well, because it's about you receiving the word of the Lord today. Praise God. Church is the most unified place on the planet. Amen. Because in this room, we've got Democrats and independents and Republicans worshiping the same God, hearing the same word. Amen. Saying amen. That's good. I receive it to the same message. Amen. I believe that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest force for unity and hope that the world has ever seen. God has chosen to use you to bring hope to the world. Isn't that exciting? And so here we are today talking about Acts chapter 1 verses 4 to 8. And I'm excited about it. What I love about that passage is I'm reminded of people I talk to today. Jesus says to them, hey, y'all need to wait here. I'm going to give you something that's going to fill you with power. It's going to be amazing. And they respond by saying, when are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And to this day, people are so distracted by end time events. People are so distracted by apocalyptic moments, right? Every single year, some bozo has had some magical epiphany from God about when Jesus is coming back. They've been wrong every time. Like, that's some bad odds. 100% of the people that have said when Jesus is coming back have been wrong. Every one of them. Right. They're like, I know Jesus said that only the Father knows. I know Jesus said that the Father didn't even share that with him. But he likes me more than he likes Jesus, so he told me. Right. They're wrong. Every year some bozo's got that. Everyone's obsessed with the end time event. In fact, there's even a story in the Bible where a bunch of believers were so distracted by end time events and the second coming of Jesus Christ that they sold everything they had and gave it all to their church, thinking that I don't need this because Jesus is coming back. Let me be the first pastor you've ever heard say to the church, don't sell everything you own and give it to the church.
Amen.
Some people are like, the church only wants your money. Well, we do want your money, but not all of it. Just enough of it to redeem the rest of it. Amen. We want you to tithe. We want you to be generous, but we don't want you to be so distracted by end time events that you think you need to sell everything and give it to the church. If you think God said that to you, get a couple of friends to testify with you that that really was a word from God, all right? Come on. All that happened to these people was they died and had no inheritance for their kids. And the Bible actually tells us to store up an inheritance for our kids. Come on. They were distracted by end time events. They were obsessed with the second coming of Jesus Christ. He didn't come. Every year, people are like, it's closer. It's closer. Hey, y'all, it's closer. I know it's closer. My birthday is closer today than it was yesterday. Come on, right? Dinner is closer than it was when I got on stage. Of course it's closer, you drongo. Yes, it's closer. Yeah, is drongo a word in America? You like it though, don't you? Yeah, now it is. Come on, drongos. You gotta be ready. Hope you're ready. Jesus is coming back. Hope you better be ready. Because Jesse's two men walking up a hill. One disappeared and one left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. You're gonna burn in hell. That stupid song messed me up, bro. Like, anyone know the song? Yeah, give me a wave if you do. Yeah, the rest of you, you're about to learn something. That song messed me up. That movie ruined my entire freaking childhood. Come on. I remember after watching that movie, that's like, if you mess up, it's too late. Y'all gonna burn. I remember being on the bus one day, and I looked up, and there was a girl, and I was like, oh my freaking goodness, she is fine. Like, she was. For sure, this is the one and the only perfect one that God has created. And I know he's created me, her for me, right? Like, and that was before I met Lauren, and I found out there were two. Come on. And I might have got my stare on, all right? Like, I know the pastor's up here, and I'm admitting that I was a bit of a perv on the school bus. I'm sorry. And the ladies in here are judging me like your husband never noticed any pretty girls back in the day, right? Like, no, not my husband, yet whatever. Come on. He noticed them. He did. I'm seeing husbands right now going, no, he's lying, right? No, seriously, you're the only one I've ever seen, right? No, he hasn't noticed any since he met you. I remember the moment, right? I remember the moment that I'm on the bus being just a tiny little bit pervy, and I'm like, oh crap, I remember the movie. If Jesus comes back right now, I'm gonna get left behind. I'm gonna burn in hell. It's gonna be me and this girl walking up a hill. She'll disappear, and I'll left standing still. I wish I was ready. And then a plane's gonna fall out of the sky in front of me because the pilots got raptured. And planes are like falling out of the sky. And by the end of the day, my head's gonna be in a guillotine rolling off a chopping block. Because that's what the stupid movie told me was gonna happen. So I started praying, Jesus, I am so sorry. Forgive me, I don't want to get left behind. I won't walk up the stupid hill with that fine-looking girl. But for real, God, you made her. It's kind of on you. But I won't do it. I won't walk up the hill. Right now, I know some of you are like, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about. A stupid movie that scared the snot out of every teenager on the planet Earth. A stupid movie called Left Behind. No, not one movie. They were like, these kids didn't poop themselves enough. Let's make another one. So they made a second one. And they were like, you know what? I think there's some left. They made a third movie to scare the snot out of every teenage boy and girl on the planet. And every youth pastor made every kid watch it. That's what I'm talking about. End times, distraction. You know, the first problem with that story is Jesus wasn't going to leave me behind because of one moment of sin. Like, for real. He's not going to leave you behind. Or if you die just after a moment of sin, it's not like, oh, well, too bad. You lived a great life. They were amazing. They never sinned. They did all the right things. Every year on their tax return, they told the truth. Every year. But in 2019... they ticked the wrong box on purpose to get an extra $2,000 back. And then planes fell out of the sky. Heads started rolling and they went to hell. You're not going to hell. over a moment of sin. Come on. You're not. That's not the God of the Word of God. That's not the God of the Bible, right? He's a God of grace. Come on, touch your neighbor. Say grace. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. You know what the second problem with that story is? You're not saved and I'm not saved by not sinning. We're saved by believing in Jesus Christ and confessing Him as Lord of our lives. That's how we're saved. Not by being perfect, not by never messing up, not by making no mistakes. We're saved by the grace and the mercy of God. Amen. And in His presence, we are made better. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are made stronger and we overcome the sin and the obstacles and the struggles in our lives. And yes, getting control over your eyeballs is a good thing. But that won't save your soul. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by behavior, but by the power and the grace of God, so that no man and no woman can ever say, look how amazing I am, walking in the gates of heaven. I know, I'm here, I did it. Look at me. Look at me, Gabriel, Moses, Abraham, look at me. I made it, I did it, I earned it, I behaved my way into heaven. No one's going to be able to do that. We're all saved because God is gracious, amen, and because God is merciful. Somebody say amen. That is good news. No matter who you are in this room, you're acceptable to Jesus right now, even with your rubber neck, come on, because it is being in a friendship with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit that will transform your life. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Where's the Tylenol? Jesus was basically telling them what I just told you. The Holy Spirit is coming to change your life forever. And these blokes are like, yeah, but when's the end coming? Yeah, when's the end times coming? And Jesus is saying to them the same thing He's saying to us. Hey, how are you end times obsessed people? Shut up about the end times for a minute and get busy winning the lost. Get busy showing people my goodness, my kindness, my mercy, my blessing, amen. Get busy winning the lost and living the life that I designed for you. You need the Holy Spirit. Forget all the things you're worried about. Forget all the drama in the world. Forget all the meteors and being like, oh, there's more meteors now. No, there's not. It's just the internet. Now you know about them. Come on. Forget about the second coming for an hour or two. Forget the preconceived ideas you have and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what He's saying. Then you'll be able to show the world how much He loves them. So wait here in Jerusalem for a minute, He says. So they do. They're like, well, kind of told us to shut up, so now we'll just wait in Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. Check out what happened. It's awesome. It's nuts. The Holy Spirit's like, well, Jesus, you did the whole dying on the cross thing, causing a stir, raising people from the dead, raising yourself from the dead. That was a big deal. Everybody's talking about it. It was nuts. So I'm going to make sure my arrival is pretty nuts too. I'm going to make sure the first time I get to come down here, I am going to be remembered. So He's like, Jesus, turn on the wind. Give me some fire sticks. I'm going to set some people's heads on fire. That's going to be nuts. Watch this. So they're all having a party in the upper room. Verse 2 of chapter 2 of Acts says this. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind come from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated. Is that wind? They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Can you even imagine what was going on there, what it must have been like that day? People are sitting down, chilling out, and then the wind picks up. It's blowing in the room, and they look at each other, and their heads are on fire. Wind is blowing. blowing, roaring, gusting, and everybody is yelling, and everybody is singing, and everybody is talking in tongues. It's so nuts that people walking past are like, yo, drunk? It's early in the morning. What are y'all doing drunk? Peter gets up and says to everybody, nah, man, we're not drunk like you suppose. They're just very, very, very filled with the Holy Ghost. And he starts talking about Jesus. And he starts telling them about joy. And he starts telling them about an everlasting joy. And he starts telling them that in the midst of chaos, that if they call on the name of Jesus, that he will rescue them. Amen. He tells them that in these days, these last days, these days after the first coming of Jesus, but before the second coming of Jesus, that God is now pouring out his Spirit on all who will receive him, that anyone can be saved if they just call on the name of the Lord. Amen. And then immediately 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus Christ that day. 3,000 people. Some people are clapping good. The rest of y'all, like, 3,000 people got saved. That deserves a golf clap. 3,000 people. Last year at Eternity Church, we saw in 52 weeks, we saw over 1,100 people give their lives to Jesus Christ. But this cat sees 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus Christ in 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Then very shortly after that, he's gone for a walk. He's hanging out with John. Peter and John, they went to pray. They met that lame man on a way. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Robert Madu talked about it about a month or two ago. And Peter looks at this dude on the ground and says, hey, bloke, I don't got any money, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. This is the same dude who not long before being baptized in the Holy Spirit is afraid of a little girl. Like, what? He's afraid of a little girl? Hey, I'm not saying girls are weak. Like, I'm afraid of my wife. Like, I know. But this was a little girl. This is a tiny little girl. He's afraid of her. He's telling people that he doesn't even know Jesus. Jesus is hanging on a cross, dying. Nah, I don't know him. Leave me alone. It wasn't me. I know you caught it on camera. Wasn't me. I don't know him. I don't know the bloke. Wasn't me. And then the rooster crows as he looks up at Jesus. Cock-a-doodle-doo three times. Jesus is dying on the cross. This is the same cat who's cutting people's ears off. This guy is out of control. I'll die for you, Jesus. I'll die for you. I'll cut all the ears off people for you, Jesus. I don't know him. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Now he's preaching in front of thousands. Now he's walking down the road speaking to mountains to move out of the way. Now he's seeing broken legs healed, paralyzed people walking, blind people's eyes opening, demon-possessed people set free. Now he's seeing drunk people set free, addicted people set free. Now he's seeing families restored. This is the same guy. What is the difference? The difference is that not only did he have an encounter in the presence of God that reset him for a great week, not only did he have a moment with the Holy Spirit, but he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit now lives in him. And so when he saw a mountain, the Spirit of God wells up in him. Something inside him says, bro, we can take that mountain. Church, do you want to go? Guys, do you want to go from the guy that mountains tell what to do to the guy who tells mountains what to do? Ladies, do you want to go from the lady that mountains tell what to do to the lady that tells the mountain what to do? Come on. Then y'all are going to need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You want to see your life transformed like the Apostle Paul, going from this dude wandering around murdering all the Christians, being an absolute psycho, to now the guy who writes 2/3 of the New Testament? You want to have a voice that is remembered for thousands of years because you are preaching the gospel? You're going to need to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was a lonely kid from a messed up family who grew up in a trailer park. Some of you didn't know that. My dad and my stepmom, they met in a trailer park. You know, now actually I introduced them because I was hungry. And so I had a helmet on my bike and I was at the store at the trailer park and I'm trying to sell my helmet so I could buy some candy. I've always liked candy. And then you take that kid, put him in America, way too much candy, right? And so we lived there and so my mom, or at the time that strange lady that grabbed me by the hand, and she's like, we better take this boy back to his parents before he gets kidnapped or something. And so she kidnaps me and takes me to the other end of the park and says, hey, is this your kid? And I'm like, you two should get married. I need a mummy. That's not what happened at all. But they did meet when she took me back there, and she took me back to our fancy trailer. Come on, we weren't those people with just an ordinary trailer. We had a fancy trailer, all right? Like our trailer had one of those... was one of those ones with the extra tent. We call it an annex in Australia. It had an extra tent attached to the side. Come on, like, we had a fancy trailer, right? And there was a toilet in our trailer, come on. And so we were blessed, and I slept in that fancy bit on the side there. I was so blessed, but my life wasn't super awesome. You don't really know that it's not, do you? When you're young, you think everybody's the same as you. Don't everybody have one of these fancy trailers? You mean not everybody does? Some people are poor. Not realizing I'm that guy, right? Like, life wasn't super awesome. I had a hole in my heart and a valve that collapsed into it. And I thank God that's all good now. So I can run and ride bikes and, you know, do a couple hundred miles in a day. That's good. Some things happened to my older brother when he was young. Something happened to him when he was a young boy, and that sort of given him dramas for the rest of his life. And a lot of my family were on drugs and alcohol, and it was a crazy, crazy life. And again, I guess I didn't realize how messed up life was. But there were these two ladies that would pick me up for church from the trailer park. To this day, I don't remember who they are. I just texted my dad earlier saying, Dad, who are they? Like, in between two services. Like, Dad, who are these ladies, right? I'm like, I don't remember who they were, how we were connected to them, but these two ladies would pick me up, take me to church from the trailer park, and they'd drop me off. And when they dropped me off, I remember they'd pray, Holy Spirit, protect him. I'm like, I don't even know what I need protecting from. I'm living the life. We've got one of those fancy trailers, you know? So I didn't even know what was going on there. Not too long later, we moved to the other side of the country to live with my grandparents. I remember any time I woke up before 6 a.m., I'd hear my grandpa praying for the kids. No matter what, if I ever woke up before 6 a.m., he was praying for the kids. And he must have been praying for a long time, because if I woke up at 5, he was praying. If I woke up at 5 to 6, he was praying, right? If we didn't wake up before 6 a.m., he'd come in at 6 a.m. and be, rise and shine, the Lord has come. This is the day that the Lord has made. And that's how we had to wake up every day, grandpa singing to us. But I'd go in there, and grandpa was always praying for us every morning, every day. And I'd listen every time. And no matter what, I heard him say every time, Holy Spirit, protect them, guide them, be with them. We started going to church with my grandparents. And they took us to a church in Tatura. Now, Tatura was about a 45-minute drive from the town that we lived in. And in that town, there was a fairly new church plant. It was an AOG church plant, or an Assemblies of God church plant. Which is like Hillsong Church was an Assemblies of God church in Australia. So it was a church plant like that. And we'd go there every single week. What's crazy is we'd drive 45 minutes, and some people are like, it snowed a little bit 3 days ago, so I can't go to church. You know, I'm like, you can, right? Like, in Australia, we get in Grandpa's car with those vinyl seats. Oh, my goodness. And I'm telling you right now, you don't know hot until you're at a 120-degree day. And then you sit your butt on Grandpa's vinyl seat, and you get out of the car, you leave a piece of your butt on his seat, right? Like, it is messed up. It is so hot. You get in the car, and you're like, Holy Ghost, you know, come on. And we did that every week. And I was at church one Sunday, and Pastor Ron Mellon, Mellon like watermelon, Pastor Ron Mellon was preaching about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and how you would receive power. Now, I knew this was the same Holy Ghost that the two ladies were talking about to protect me. I knew this was the same Holy Spirit that my grandpa was asking to protect me. And I was all too aware that I did not have what it takes. I was all too aware that my life was messed up, that we were that family, that we were losers, that I needed help, that I didn't have what it takes. So I knew that if I could receive power, that I want it. Amen. I knew that I wanted the Holy Spirit in my life. Now, not long after that, I was at a youth camp. Pastor Paul Geerling was preaching. Gears, as we called him. Who remembers Pastor Paul Geerling? He preaches here sometimes. He's coming back this year. I can't remember what month, but he's coming back this year again. And super great for that. But Gears, Paul Geerling, he was my hero. He was proof that something good could come out of our family because he's my cousin. And anyway, he says, who wants to receive the Holy Spirit? Lift up your hands. I'm like, yes. I've been hearing about this Holy Spirit for a long time now. I want to receive the Holy Spirit in my life. On that night, I had an experience and an encounter with God that went beyond just spending time in His presence as I was baptized in the Holy Spirit by Pastor Paul. I felt that day the joy of the Lord inside me. Let me tell you, there is a difference from feeling the joy of the Lord on you or around you when you get to church. There's a difference between that and feeling the joy of the Lord in you. Amen. In you. I, for the first time, felt strong. When you grow up with a hole in your heart and a collapsing valve and whatever else, You don't know what it's like to feel strong. When you grow up in that trailer park, when you grow up like that, you don't know what it's like to feel strong. But I felt strong all of a sudden. I felt worthy. You grow up like that, it's a different feeling when all of a sudden you feel worthy. People are like, I'm not worthy. Yes, you are. You're the righteousness of God. Scripture says that because you gave your life to Jesus Christ, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and the righteous deserve to be worthy. Amen. Deserve every good thing God says is coming their way. You deserve it. Touch your neighbor and say, you deserve it. I felt holy. Holy. I felt like I could do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Felt like I could speak to mountains and they would move. So I went back to school and I started telling people about Jesus. You know what? Camp didn't wear off that time. How many times you go to camp, right? Hands up if you grew up in church in this place, yeah? Yeah, about a third to half of us. You grew up in church. You go to youth camp and you come back and you're like, yeah, I can take the world. You're like, I'm going to live for Jesus. Yeah, and then Monday's great and Tuesday, you're like, oh my goodness. And you're scared all of a sudden. Like it didn't last till Tuesday. Tuesday. It didn't last. It didn't wear off this time. I wasn't fired up for a short time. There was now a fire in me, not on me, amen. It was in me that I could not shut up. I started telling people about Jesus. Funny enough, Scripture says that you'll receive power and be my witnesses. So I started telling people about you, leading people to Christ on the football oval. I started leading people to Christ in English class. And Miss De Silva, the meanest teacher you ever met in your life, she'd be like, Jesse, shut up. And I'd be like, in the name of Jesus. No, I didn't do that. I haven't stopped talking about him since. And the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped helping me since. How does a guy with a past like that plant a church? How can a guy like that even get a visa? A visa is, you know, not MasterCard, like, you know, like a visa. Hey, yeah, let's let that guy live in the country. How does a guy with that history, that past, that setup, not set up for much, let's be honest, how's a guy with that setup manage to convince the U.S. government to give him a visa? I don't know. Holy Ghost, amen. How can an annoying, overly talkative, extremely skinny... Now, you got to understand, right, I haven't always been this huge. I know, I'm still ridiculously skinny. You think I talk a lot now? Oh, you ain't seen nothing. You think I'm talkative? You should have seen me at 13. Like, I was the most annoying kid you ever met. I wasn't one of the most, no, I was the most annoying kid you ever met in your life. Right, I would talk so much that Uncle Ben, Paul Geerling's dad, Uncle Ben, who was perhaps one of the men that loved me the most in my life, that Uncle Ben, when I got to his house, he'd give me three cards. What are three cards for, you're asking? Let me tell you. I had to trade a card in to ask a question. You want to ask a question? Trade in the card. And when we got through three cards, shut up. That's how annoying I was. That That's how much I took. How does that dude pastor a church that sees 1,000 people give their lives to Jesus in 1 year? Because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he gives me wisdom. And I'm not just talking about, God, what should I do right now? I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit is in you, when the Holy Spirit has given you wisdom, it's already there. So you just make better decisions, amen? You just say better things. You just do better things, amen? He gives me wisdom and strategy and strength and hope and peace, hallelujah. And I know there's people in this room who are like, the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. So I'm old school. The one church area of my life that I'm old school is I say Holy Ghost instead of Holy Spirit. I don't even know why. So I just like it better, you know. Ghost personality, you know. Like Casper has a personality, you know. So, Holy Ghost. Anyway, whatever. Some people are like, the Holy Ghost, that's weird. That's weird. I don't know if I can embrace that. Like, we're cool with the virgin birth. Like, that totally makes sense to me. Virgin birth, you know, like someone who's never had sex, having a baby. That makes sense. But the Holy Spirit, I draw the line there.
Really?
Really? I'd be the other way around if I was going to be drawing lines. I'd be like, the Holy Ghost, that makes sense. But I'm drawing a line at virgin birth. That don't make sense, right? Too many people, they think the Holy Ghost is weird, but they're cool with the virgin birth. That's fine, right? Like, honestly, if you accept that, you may as well roll with the Holy Ghost as well. Yeah? Come on. What about this? I don't know if any of you in here used to be Catholic or still consider yourself to be. I'm not mocking you, but check this out. The Catholics believe, I don't believe this, all right? Trust, don't worry. They believe that as you take communion, that it literally turns into the blood of Jesus and that every Catholic is a vampire. Drinking blood up in here. But the Holy Ghost, no, that's too far. That's too far. I'm fine with the vampire. I'm fine with the virgin thing. But the Holy, come on. If you're going to accept the virgin birth, you might as well go all the way and believe and ask God for the Holy Ghost in your life too and give you power, give you strength, give you joy, give you courage, give you wisdom, amen? Come on. You can have wisdom. You can have strength. You can have joy. You can speak to mountains. You can be empowered to overcome the wrong in your life, the struggles. You can win those battles. But most importantly, even more than any of that, it will help you show the world the way to salvation. Holy Ghost wants to help you show the world the way to salvation. Help them see that God is good. So I want to encourage you to lean into the Holy Spirit this year. Lean in. Jesus didn't come to earth and then bail on us. He said, it's better that I go back up to heaven so that you can receive the Holy Spirit. And he'll empower us with power from heaven to live the life that he's called us to. You can live this life with authority, with power, with strength and courage. You can be the mouthpiece of the goodness of God, church. Would you all stand up with me? Come on. Stand up with me. Now, I just want to point out one thing for you. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, but it's the whole tongues thing that gets me. Well, honestly, I don't care. I don't care, all right? Like, whatever. I'm going to tell you this. You can be bad. I'm not saying that you have to speak in tongues to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that. Now, you know, 90% of the time in Scripture, people did. Right? But I'm not saying that to be filled with the Spirit, you have to speak in tongues. I'm saying you should want to. Paul the Apostle said, I speak in tongues more than all of you, but I wish you all would. I wish you all would. He also then went on to say, but even more than that, I wish you'd prophesy. Speak encouragement into people's lives. Speak hope into people's lives. Prophesy the goodness of God into people's lives. Amen. I'm telling you right now, you should ask God for these gifts. And when you get filled with the Spirit, you should ask God for these gifts. These gifts that will give you strength. You know what tongues does? You know what? You're like, I feel just icky in my spirit. I don't know what's wrong. And you've heard people say, when you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. I'm saying that you can speak in tongues in those moments and let your spirit connect with the Spirit of God and just edify you and strengthen you and give you courage. That's a good thing. Amen. But also ask God for the gift of prophecy or the words of knowledge or encouragement into people's lives. The Holy Spirit wants to do so much more than just have you speak in tongues. Amen. In April, we're launching a four-week course called Discover Power. Discover Power. We'll probably, I was thinking we'll do it like every second month, but Kim, it's probably going to end up in every month, hey? Right? And so, if y'all don't, Kim, give everyone a wave. She's a Holy Ghost machine. And so her and I are working on that right now. I want to encourage you to do that course. Discover the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Can I get everyone to close their eyes in this room, actually, just real quick? Everyone close their eyes. No one looking around. I'm going to ask you a question. This is not the salvation bit. I'm going to do that in a minute. I'm going to ask you a question. If you're in this place, everyone's eyes closed. Come on, let's be kind. If you're in this place and you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, no one's looking around. Would you just lift up your hand and show me who you are? Just lift up your hand right now. It's only me looking around, and I'm not going to be like pointing you out or anything like that. Yeah, there's lots of people in the room. Okay, you can put your hands down and open your eyes, everybody, now. There we go. Here's what I want you to do if you're one of those people. Maybe you're not one of those people, but you're like, I just want to lean in more, you know? I want to lean into this gift. What I want you to do is whip out your phones now, after the service, whatever. Just whip your phone out. Text the word discover or discover. Just want to make sure people write the right word. Text the word discover to the number 25827. Okay, text that. And here's why that's important. In our church, every weekend, I don't know, 12 to 1400 people in church. Over a month, there's usually about 3,000 different people in church. This is their church home, which means there's lots of people that want to do this course, but we can take 20 at a time. Now, we might work on something a little bit, a way to do it bigger after that, but the first one in April is going to be about 20, then 20 in the next, 20 in the next. So I want you to text the word discover to the number 25827 so that you can be on the list now, so you don't have to wait. So you can say, I'm in, and it's going to be first in, best dressed, all right? First in, first serve. And so text the word discover to 25827 and lean in to everything that God wants to do in your life. Because right now, no matter how old you are, if you're a 50-year-old dude or a 15-year-old girl, you can start living your best life now. Amen? Your best life now. The best is yet to come. So do that. You can also come down the front for prayer today. You're like, I know all about it. I know what I want. I'm going to come for prayer today. That's fine. Still do the course as well, though, okay? This week, all Connect groups are going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Every Connect group leader in the room, you're going to talk, at least even if the study's on something else, you're going to talk for 10 minutes about the Holy Spirit and give people an opportunity to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, pray for each other. As a family, you can go home and read all the scriptures about being baptized in the Holy Spirit in the New Testament and realize, man, scripture talks about this a lot. And if you don't know where they are, just, have you heard of Google? Google it. Google New Testament scriptures about the Holy Spirit. And don't read the pages on Google, right? There's some weird stuff on there, you know? Like, to be filled with the Spirit, you need to have 5 arms, you know? Like, no, not everything you read on the internet is true. Abraham Lincoln said that, so it must be true, right? So don't do that. Just read where the scriptures are, then read your Bibles together as a family, as a couple, or on your own. Just really dive into that today. But God bless you. There's another thing I want to do. I want to talk to people in the room who don't know Jesus, though. Like, you listen to this sermon, you're like, man, God is good. He didn't just come, save the world, and then bail on us. No, He wants you to live a good life. Scripture says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then He said, let us make mankind in our image. And at that very moment, my friend, He thought of you. Scripture shows us over and over again that His plans are to bless you. Over and over again, His plans are to bless you. His plans are to prosper you. His plans are to help you. His plans are to heal you and to set you up to live the life that He designed for you way back when He said, let us make mankind in our image. And all this time, we've been living our own lives, right? Doing our own thing. And you might be enjoying it, but let me tell you, it's nothing compared to the life He has planned for you. So I want to encourage you right now to pray a prayer with me and give your life to Jesus. Let go of the sin and the shame of your past mistakes. Let go of the shame that you've been carrying because of things other people have done to you or around you. And embrace the full, blessed life that Jesus Christ died on the cross to give you, okay? You might be like, well, I got sin, I got drama, I got all this wrong with me. I don't care. And neither does God. If there's something in your life that's destructive, hurtful to others, offensive to God, hey, when the time is right, He'll talk to you about that and help you overcome that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It won't be about you being perfect or trying to please anyone or anything. It'll just be about spending more time in the presence of God, with the people of God, in the house of God. Amen. And just being transformed by God's power, not yours. So I'm not interested in trying to fix you, change you. I want you to give your life to Jesus Christ and start living the life He designed for you. Amen. So everyone in the room is going to pray this prayer so that you don't have to pray it alone. Every person, we're all going to pray the prayer together. So if everybody could repeat after me, especially those who are away from God and especially those who have never known Him, pray this prayer with me. Give your life to Christ today and start living a blessed life, all right? Pray with me, everybody in a loud voice. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin and rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness, and I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it, just for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, praise God for a second in here. There's three things I want you to do if you prayed that prayer, all right? If you prayed that prayer for the first time, giving your life to Christ, or if you prayed that prayer for the first time in a long time, coming back to Christ, three things I want you to do. Number one, I want you to text the word saved to the number 25827. Same number as before, different word, all right? Text the word saved to the number 25827. When you do that this week, you're going to receive in the mail a Bible, a worship CD, and a gift card to one of the local coffee shops here in Central Iowa. And we're excited to give that to you. So please, even online, you can do that. If you're online and you live far away, we'll send you one to Starbucks if you like terrible coffee. And so we'll do that for you immediately after the service. Sorry, I'm Australian and we're absolute coffee snobs, all right? We know it. But we just want to bless you. So please text the word SAVE to the number 25827. Secondly, what we want to do is I want to pray for you. So in a minute, I'm going to count to three and then I want you to lift up your hand so I know who I'm praying for. So if everyone could close their eyes and bow their heads, every single person, close your eyes and bow your heads. Every single person, everyone. I want to pray for you that God will bless your life, that when you leave this place, you're going to start just feeling the blessing and the hope of God in your life. So no one looking around. On the count of three, you pray that prayer and you want me to pray for you, then I want you to lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up your hands all over this place. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Church, come on, let's lift up our hands in faith and pray for these 21 people. Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful that you have chosen to use our church as a vessel, as a conduit of hope to Central Iowa. God, I ask for a special blessing on every one of the 21 people that just lifted up their hands and said, I prayed that prayer, I want to live in hope. God, I pray right now that the shame and the pain of their past mistakes will be broken off their lives. The pressure to perform, the pressure to save themselves, to behave themselves, God, I pray that would be broken off their lives, and as they step into a relationship with you, that you would begin to transform their lives for them. Break off shame, break off pain, break off addiction, break off bitterness and hurt. Break off all the things that hinder them from living the blessed life you designed for them. God, I pray right now you'd flood their hearts and minds with hope, with joy, and with peace. We commit them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. And God, ask you one more thing. I just ask that as they leave this place, they would physically feel that pep in their step that comes from a relationship with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Come on, praise God. 21 people, hallelujah. God is good. I'm going to walk off this stage in a second, and my mate Joe's going to come share the offering. But let me tell you this, there's a couple of reasons why we changed the service to offerings at the end now. It's because we wanted people to come in and have a wonderful worship experience followed by a word experience, right? And that's why in church it's the worship up front and then the word of God, no interruptions, nothing at all. But then after the sermon, we have an opportunity to respond to God in two ways. We can respond by giving an offering, and we're all encouraged to tithe. You can give online at myeternitychurch.com. Joe will talk more about that in a second. Another way we can respond, though, is we can get prayer. Come down and get prayer, and we will always have an opportunity for people to get prayer. So that today, Joe's going to share the offering word, but the second that bucket goes past you, if you need prayer, please come down the front. We've got a team of fired up prayer warriors waiting to pray for you. You can lend, you can borrow some of their faith, and they want to see you live in victory, set free. If you've got an area of your life that needs healing, financial miracle, anxiety, physical in your body, relationships, whatever, a headache, hey, whatever you care about, he cares about it. Amen. He loves you. So come down the front for prayer. The second that bucket goes by, don't miss out. Hey, we love you. Give the Lord a shout of praise if you receive that word today. Come on.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.